from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here as we are going to take a little dip at the temperatures, and that's going to be good for the ice fishing, which we will talk about with our number one ice angler, Brian Brosdahl, in just a minute. But first, got to thank our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Also, the Great Lakes Training Center that they have there for all kinds of classes. Not only do they have what you would look into, like for, concealed carry, things of that nature, but lots of other cool safety classes. You can check them out online, notjustguns.com, or again, go see them in person, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Also, our friends at Conquest Sense, who are currently on the road at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, and of course, the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, getting everybody all taken care of this morning. And now, as we got some cold temperatures, we've got some ice in a lot of areas of the state. What I would consider, please check it before you go out on any ice, but farther north, they've been really good. Mark Martin just had his ice fishing vacation school up at Houghton Lake, which was really successful, and hopefully we'll be talking to Mark here very soon before he gets to his next class. Also, we're going to speak with Ed Shaw today from the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center up in Lake Mitchell and Cadillac, and of course, they've got a new class going on coming up in Lake Gogebic for the Hardwater Ice School, our fishing school, which will be very cool. We'll talk with Ed about that, and we're going to revisit with Keith Stanton to talk a little bit about pike spearing. Now, we talked with Keith earlier or later last year, but we want to carry that conversation back over with Keith because now we're getting to that time where the pike spearing is going to be really good. So we're going to cover that with Keith here as we revisit that conversation. But right now, we're going to talk with Brian Brosdahl over in northern Minnesota, where, wow, it's going to be a balmy zero, bro. I can't even get my words out. Yeah. Man.
Hey, how are you doing, Durant?
I'm doing good. Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, I looked at my phone. The last conversation we had was back in October, which I'm like, wait a minute. I can't believe it's been that long since we talked to you. But shortly after, in November, you guys had ice.
Yes. We had an unreasonably hot summer. I mean, in June, it was almost 100 degrees for quite a span, you know, in that 90s and high 80s. And that doesn't usually happen around here. But we got the cold. The clippers kept coming down from little gift from the Arctic, and it seems like that Lake Michigan really is a buffer zone for you guys. As soon as that warm water, that cold air hits, it just stops it. And we got nailed with some cold weather early, and it froze, and then we got hit by snow. So before it could get super developed, we had 18, and some places had up to 20 to 25 inches of snow. So, what happens when you get that?
Yeah, it makes everything. It does. It literally does stop everything, even where you're at. But, mm-hmm. The ice fishing, it gets really difficult because, you're dragging yourself either on a quad or a snowmobile, and that deep snow, especially 2 feet of snow like that, makes it very difficult to go across and get out to where you want to be. And, I'm good.
and here's the thing. ATVs were, quads were great up until our last dumping, and they're struggling to get through now. You ain't getting anywhere on the wheels. You need tracks or a snowmobile. And right now, you pull into any gas station or especially the bars, and there's hardly any car parking. It's all sleds around here, so everybody's having a good time with every sport because of the snow. But this is a time for snowmobile traffic, and I'm still driving. With heavy winds, we get snow pile-ups, and I just have a V-plow, and I don't drop it to make roads everywhere. I just drop it at the level of the bottom of my truck, and I go along, and I never get hung up. And we got 18 to 20 inches of ice on a lot of the lakes around here, so we're driving everywhere.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, I say crazy for that would be crazy for us right now because, you know, right now on a windy day like today is that we're recording, we started out with 37 degrees. Which, you know what? Hey, that's great if you've got a lot of ice and you want to get out. But if you're thinking, which I hope you're not, on a day like, you know, a warm day about going out to the Saginaw Bay. No, not so much, because that's when you get these, you know, these big chunks of ice breaking off in the wind, and then you're adrift, and the Coast Guard get called. It's every year this happens, and there's no reason for it.
No, and I just had some friends from Frank's here, Joe and his daughters, and we had a great time, and we were just talking about how the ice is forming, and he had to get back because it's going to be super busy. They had 6 or 7, 8 inches out there for quite a few miles, and some of my friends are fishing perch up in the shallows, 3-4 feet of water, and getting them, but they're drilling a lot of holes, and they're getting some big ones, but it's a different year, and I told them to go a little bit deeper because we're seeing it. It's just the weather patterns and everything. Always remember, nothing's always the same, and you might have a shallow bite every year, but they might be deep, and here it's quite the flip-flop. The deep fish are super shallow, and everybody's going past them, and they're not leaving the shoreline. Even though we had a drought here this year, and our lakes are down, they're shallow.
Right.
So all these years, everything was deep, and now this year they're shallow. So fish will surprise you, and I think there's just more weed growth holding on. So keep an eye on simple things like that. You know, drop an AquaView and look at what's on the bottom. If there's cara, which is that algae that grows like skeletal grass, That's a number one for perch anywhere. That's the number one vegetation. And find areas of it, intermittent cara, and there'll be fish. And out there are some beautiful weeds. I've actually trolled out in the bay, and this is years ago. But if you can find any cover, they're going to be loaded. And they're going to be looking for gobies, anything they can grab. And definitely get some shiners and, you know, maybe some bro bug spoons and go at it.
Brian Brosdahl is our guest here, and you know, bro, when you hear about fish schooling up and biting in 3 or 4 feet of water, that's really good sight fishing. Depending on the water, even with water clarity being not great, it's still, you know, about what you're going to get in a lot of cases.
Absolutely, and that's one of my favorite ways to go. I like really shallow fish. When you hit them, they really. They fight hard for their size, and they're up there. They're feeding on crayfish, darters. There must be a bunch of shiners, and I'm sure the canals and creeks are still dumping in, and there's lots of stuff that could be coming with that. There's a lot of minnows dumping out because of the freeze-up, and the perch are there to greet them, but that's a fun bite. Even if they're stratified and scattered, I still like to – I like fishing shallow, and then of course the walleye crew is going to be out there deeper. But and that's what's going to happen, and it's just great to have ice. And I hope people keep safety in mind. It's just simple. You got to have some picks. If you do go through, so you can pull your way out. Bring a little rope. Bring a little flotation, and nothing will happen. You know,
say, right,
if you have
right.
insurance, you'll never get in an accident.
Right. Well, you know? That's almost like completely true. And definitely, if you're going to head out to Saginaw Bay in that area, by all means, call the guys at Frank's. They are a wealth of information up there at Frank's Great Outdoors. They don't sponsor the show. I'm just saying that's the place to go or to call and talk to. Because, look, they've got their finger on the pulse of this, of what goes on in their area. We do not give fishing reports or ice reports, things of that nature, because a lot of times by the time this airs, things are very different. You know, we record middle of the week, it airs on the weekends, and we don't want to give any bad information. Call your local bait and tackle shop wherever you're going. Those are the folks that will help you, and in turn, you know what, buy local as well. So, bro,
exactly. You know, you got Jay's, you got Frank's, you got DNR, you got everybody in the lakes in their area, they're going to know.
All right, we're going to talk more with Bro here in a couple of seconds. Keep it here. More ice fishing, more perch talk on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
I still believe. Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Another week in the outdoors. 15 years worth of weeks in the outdoors, and we're so happy to be able to continue to do that for you and bring you all the guests and the great information that come across our microphones and our airwaves each and every week. And you can find all the information you want on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, which is getting worked on as we speak. So, you know, maybe in a few days, come back, and hopefully I'll have a better update. But right now, it needs to be refreshed. I'll just say that. And real quickly, Commemorative Bucks of Michigan are doing their annual banquet. It'll happen at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. I am very happy to be your MC for that event on the 26th of March. You can get your tickets at BuckFax.com. And maybe hook yourself up with a room there as well, because, man, it's going to be a great time. And it's been a couple years since we've been able to do it, so let's all get together and have fun. Well, excuse me, with Commemorative Bucks of Michigan. Back to Brian Brosdahl right now, joining us. Bro, perch fishing, you're like, you know, when I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about bro, I said, you know, I haven't had bro on in a while, and their response was, boy, you talk about a guy that has really brought panfish to the forefront, you know, to the world of ice anglers. And that is a true passion for you. It's not just because you're getting paid or, you know, you're getting your face on stuff. You truly love it. And that's so encouraging.
I guide for walleyes all summer long, only because I'm selfish. I want to keep the panfish to myself. But, you know, truly, there's such a really big panfish are such a fleeting rare resource that you really, you know, they're slow growing in the North Country. So it's hard to mine for those things, you know, like walleyes are pretty prolific at perch. So I usually take it out on the perch and walleyes. But panfish are my favorite. I love chasing them. And big bluegills are something to behold when you catch them. They fight hard and they're hard to catch sometimes. They're like really stubborn. And big slab crappies are fun. Perch, they're fun too because they're really colorful, and the big ones are aggressive. They are the apex predator of the panfish species. They'll eat just about everything, and a big school of big perch is a blast.
You know, and this is what's funny. This is just my observation about perch. They bite aggressive. They fight aggressive. You get them out of the water, and they're like, done.
Yeah, they are, and you know what, is there anything that tastes better than fresh jumbo perch?
No, I mean, look, you said, well, let's just stay on the panfish. I like perch probably more than anything in that realm. I mean, when you're jumping up to the bigger fish, walleye, of course, but perch, there's something special about them. And I tell you, man, to get a mess through the ice, you know, just to throw them on the ice, keep them cold till you get them home to get them cleaned up, there really isn't anything better.
They're real firm meat, and they hit spoons. Like, they'll hit walleye spoons. If you're targeting really big perch, sometimes you have to go small and use little tungsten mud bugs, but there's a lot of times you can get by with spoons, and some people use really big spoons, fluttering spoons. And so I like the aggressiveness of them, and definitely I've been using a lot of coffin spoons. Northland has a spoon that in 20 feet of water will go 6-8 feet to the side, but when it's tumbling, and you could draw them in, something flashy, and they're aggressive. They come halfway up out of the water column to grab it, and they're a lot of fun. And crappies and bluegills, you can catch them on spoons at times, especially under a boat or when they're super aggressive and big, but most of the time, drop it down to a gill getter, a mud bug, some maggots or waxies, and it's a slower presentation, more of shaking the bait on the hook to get them to bite. But there are times when perch do get really tough, and they're hard to get. Well, that's when you go down to to the smaller baits and offer it to them, or just a live minnow on a small hook.
Brian Brosnall, our guest here right now on Wild Michigan. Bro, I'm going to ask you a question I've never asked you before. In 15 years of having you on this show, I've never asked you how you and Heather prepare those perch.
Oh, geez. We like to use, I like panko, and to get them really crispy, and then fry them in a lighter oil. Whatever oil you want to use, I like to use olive oil because of the health benefits, and really just a little bit in a pan, crisp the sides, and then I'll make my own dipping tartar sauce, but with a little jalapeno jelly, so it has a little kick to it, and it is so good. Another way to prepare it, we make chowders out of it, and we like a red sauce chowder, and we give it some kick, some heat, and it's really good. And you could see that it was on Linder's Angling Edge. I did that recipe. And then one of my favorites, and this is something you could have anytime, is coconut perch. You fry it up, but be careful not to burn the coconut. And the whole idea is if you can get good fresh coconut, it is just amazing. Cut it into little fingers, and coconut perch is delicious. And you could eat it with anything. I mean, it goes good breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Those poor little things are so good to eat, they're going to get chased around.
You know, and that's cool because, look, there are two ways right there I've never thought of doing the perch. I mean, it is a good, fresh, firm, white meat, very healthy, if you depending on how you make it. But, again, you know, and if you've never used olive oil, be very careful because it heats up very quickly. It's got a very low point of frying up. So, but you know, I don't know why I've never asked you, because look, I know what you catch. I know that you catch a lot and you eat what you catch, but I've never asked you how you made it. And that's, you know, I don't know what took so long, but I'm glad I asked.
Well, and you know, when I have people with, I don't get any, you know, I don't harvest fish for myself ever when I'm guiding. I go out on my own to get it, and I make sure that the clients are all taken care of. But when we have also perch tacos, but if you're making a chowder, especially a red sauce chowder or white sauce, you want to put the perch in last so you don't pulverize the meat. You know, you want to put it in last to keep it firm. And so you cook everything, then throw the perch in last. Make sure you get lots of it. The only complaint anybody ever has about the chowder is they want more perch in it.
That's fantastic. Brian Brosnall is our guest here. If you ever want to fish with Bro in the summertime, brosguideservice.com is where he's at. You can find the Bro Roadshow. You do a lot of you know, video is the big thing, the video podcasts and stuff like that. We've been doing the radio pod, the audio podcast for so long. About as long as we've been doing this show. But, man, I mean, I'm surprised you even find time to fish with all that you're doing for the work end of things.
Well, I just wanted to make – well, it works perfect timing. My podcast was at 7 p.m., but we just didn't start it without doing anything ahead of time. There, you really have to make sure you have everything lined up, and it was just something to give back to the companies for – having me around, you know, with strange times.
Sure, you know, absolutely. Well, I'm glad we got to distract you a little bit. Best to Heather, Brian Brosnall, here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, very happy to be here. Hell, I'm happy to be anywhere with everything that's been going on the past couple of years. And I don't mean that like in any way, but the fun way it was intended. So just relax. Okay, everybody have fun. Not Just Guns bringing you this episode of Wild Michigan. Very happy to have them on. NotJustGuns.com, and find them in person. They're fabulous awesome showroom in Mason, Michigan, 127 at Cedar Star, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, not just guns.com. It is literally more than not just guns. They have great stuff for your everyday carry. They have lots and lots and lots of ammunition, plus all kinds of great accessories and classes. Lots of great informative classes, much like the ones we're going to talk to you now with our good friend Ed Shaw from the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center in Cadillac, Michigan, on the beautiful shores of Lake Mitchell. Boy, I sound like I should be describing something for Wheel of Fortune. You know? Ed, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Good to be back and back on the show.
Now, dude, we just had Bro on. We just talked to Bro about ice fishing. They got like 2 feet of snow. They've had 25 inches of ice for Lord knows how long. But how are the ice conditions in Mitchell? Because, again, I know Mark Martin was over in Houghton Lake to the east of you, and they've had great ice. They had great walleye and some other, you know, species of fish. But how's Mitchell been over there?
Well, we're usually the first to get good ice in the state because Mitchell and Cadillac are two high of the highest elevated lakes in lower Michigan, and they're shallow, so they freeze fairly quickly, and that's why we typically have first ice in Michigan.
And
in lower Michigan.
And in lower Michigan, right. And you guys take advantage of that there. Ed is an interpreter with the Michigan DNR and an educator because you guys put together classes throughout the course of the year for people that have never heard Ed before. We met when the Skills Academy, Michigan DNR Skills Academy, first got underway and has exploded to such a great size, Ed. And, you know, one of the first classes you guys offered was the Hardwater School, which is a great time to get out and learn about ice fishing.
Yeah, I mean, we're offering over 60 classes now a year-round, not just at my location, others. But we got a new Hardwater School. So your listeners have heard that before. You guys have talked to Norm. Norm might have mentioned him. Was it last weekend he was on?
Yep, he was on last week.
And, of course, I got to listen to Norm, you know. Great tight liner. And these are instructors we have come and teach at our schools. But we're going to offer a new one at Gogebic. So if Gogebic is a destination lake for great big perch, and we call those perch teeter pigs. So this is going to be the Cedar Pig School.
and what's funny, we finally asked Bro how he was preparing those perch. So if you were listening to the first segments of the show, you caught a little glimpse as to how somebody who makes a living with panfish finally prepares them. He's got several different ways that he had mentioned. But perch, I mean, they can get pretty big. You get up to a true 2-pounder, that's a big, big perch.
Those are big perch. And, you know, that's one thing, that's why people go to Gogebic is, you know, they're going up there in hopes to catch their personal best because that's what they are. They're big, fat, jumbo perch. And I won't lie, you're never going to catch huge quantities of them. You're not going to go up there and limit out every trip. But that's kind of the idea of the school, though, is to get people up there, make a good long weekend out of it, and to show them how to catch those big teeter pigs.
Now, your school is it's pretty in depth, you know. I mean, but it's cost effective as well.
Well, yeah. And not just the Gogebic School. We have an advanced school we're going to offer at the Ram Center at North Higgins Lake State Park. That school, don't quote me off the top of my head, I think it's $260. But that includes 2 nights lodging, 2 dinners, 2 breakfasts, 2 lunches, your bait, everything. All the classes. So for what it would cost someone for the heck, I just called a hotel and it was $130 now. So for about the same exact price it cost you for 2 nights at any other lodging or hotel, you're getting everything. You can't beat it.
No, you can't. I mean, that's a huge, huge deal. I mean, lodging, food, and everything else. You can't buy, you know, the education that you will have for the rest of your life any cheaper than that. There's no way.
No, and the cool part is a lot of this got started. You mentioned Mark Martin because he did schools in Cadillac at my place.
Mm-hmm.
There at the Carl T. Johnson Center. And, you know, we kind of spun off ideas and bounced ideas off of Mark. We kind of started a 101, which is now turned into, we do offer beginner classes for families. We offer intermediate classes, and then we have an advanced school. But our advanced school really is nothing like Mark's school. So there's actually four tiers of ice fishing that you can do right here in Michigan. You know, you go other places in other states like Minnesota, Clam has Ice Team University. There's a waiting list for those schools to get in for most of those. So it's very hard for anyone to be able to go and learn in a school setting like that because they're so popular in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Well, right here in Michigan, nowhere else in the United States that you have a four levels of ice fishing schools that you could go to. You know, we're offering three of them in a variety of things. In our advanced school, we rotate lakes every year, so we're never fishing the same lake. So folks can come back every year and not fish the same fish or the same ice every year. Learning different techniques, we always try to focus on different species. So this year is all about the lake trout on Higgins, big pike, and hopefully we can find some perch. And if the guys want to go fish smelt on Higgins, they can. So that's what it's all about this year. But in years past, we fished Portage, we fished Mitchell and Cadillac, and we really run and gun. So it's a lot of fun.
Now, that's, and again, with this weather that we're having, we got a big Arctic blast coming in this weekend. And, you know, that's really going to firm up some of the ice out there. Again, by all means, we always preach safety with every person we talk to. And that's just good common sense, plain and simple. And I know you guys teach safety as well.
Most of your listeners are down in mid to southern Michigan, and or at least a lot of them, and I encourage them to use caution. There's no such thing as safe ice. There's a lake right here by my house in the middle of February. It has springs in it. You will go through no matter what all year. It never freezes along the shoreline. So use caution in areas like that because you just never know.
Absolutely. Ed Shaw is our guest here on Wild Michigan. He is up at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center. And I know you just had one of the kids' classes go through, and now you're getting ready for the weekend classes, which is the Hardwater School. And we're going to talk with you in a little bit to see what else is coming up in 2022. My gosh, I almost said 2002. But where did that last 20 years go, Ed? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. It goes by fast when you're enjoying life.
It does, man. We are definitely doing that. We're going to speak more with Ed Shaw here in a couple of minutes. Thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Nick Munch of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by Conquest Sense. Out of our good friends here in Michigan, makers of VS1, also the Evercalm scent, They've got some great products, man. Check them out online and link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, to conquestsense.com. And when they get back from the SHOT Show, we're going to talk with Doug Roberts and find out what we need to know about the upcoming deer herd for 2022 and how they're faring, or they might fare, for this winter. Even though it's been kind of mild in the lower portions of Michigan, it's still been cold, and I'm sure it might be a little tough, especially around the March area for deer here in Michigan. Right now we're speaking with interpreter for the Michigan DNR, Ed Shaw, about the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center, getting ready for the Hardwater Fishing School. And Ed, we get the jump. This was really cool, because if you're listening to our show now and you want to learn about steelheading, these classes are the way to go. And when you hear us talking about it, get on the website now and get registered.
Yep. I'm going to give your listeners first dibs at this. It's not full at the moment. It is posted. But once I do a press release, these classes fill in a day or two. They usually typically don't last overnight when I do a press release for these. They're very popular, mostly because we have classroom. And then the very next day, we actually take you down on the Manistee River, and we go steelhead fishing. And the same thing for our fly fishing school. You know, you spend a day in the classroom learning what you need to learn all about fly fishing or steelheading, and then we take you down on the Manistee and go fly fishing. So those schools fill very fast, because the equivalent schools are $400 or $500 to take those types of classes. And, you know, ours are very, very inexpensive. Our steelhead clinic is $30.
Wow.
For a class like that.
And
we make no money. We're not allowed to make a profit.
Right.
No, that's just to cover material.
That's fantastic. Man, I've seen some of the steelhead classes, or even, you know, the guides. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going a guide, because that's what they're there for. But why not learn? Why not learn ahead of time and take those skills out there? And that's why they call this an outdoor skills academy, is because you can go back, you can find other things to be taught through these same locations and other locations throughout the state. And, you know, again, these skills are forever once you have them.
And we do. That's one of the things we recommend in our schools, is after you go here, you know, go with a guide, you know, learn. They'll teach you a lot of what they know, and they've spent a lifetime on that river or a lifetime on that lake, and they're going to teach you what they've learned, because they want to see you catch fish. You know, that's what they're there to do, is put you on some fish. So those are great ways to learn, but this is definitely your first step. If you want to know what rods to buy, how to rig your rod, what to look for in the water, and really there's a lot of people out there that want to do it themselves, this is a great place to do it, and do it very inexpensively.
Now, what is, before I forget to ask, the website we need to go to so we can put that up on our Facebook page and everything else?
It'll be michigan.gov/outdoor skills, all one word. And all the classes are listed, including our Whitetail Clinic, where we use Conquest Sense. You know, we feature the stink sticks in there, and we show them and how useful those are. I know a lot of my buddies who hunt use them religiously, and we go over all that stuff in our, and that class is posted along with our food plot clinic and wildlife habitat classes and all them stuff.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, real quickly about Conquest, I mean, because if you're using natural scents, which has been a very, very touchy subject throughout the industry, these are ATA approved. They have the sticker. They've been approved by the ATA, which is the Archery Trade Association. And make sure you look for that, because that way you know you're using not only quality, but a safe scent come a deer season again. And they have a whole line of other stuff as well. I mean, we've used their hog scents before. They have bear scent. They have training scents. Just all kinds of great stuff. Again, conquestscents.com. And that's giving them a little shout out. But other classes that you guys have, I mean, look, come spring, we know it's people are going to be looking for morels, and foraging has become a huge thing as of late.
And we have all of our mushroom clinics, and those fill very quickly. So don't think about it. If you're thinking about taking one of those classes, jump on, especially when the warm weather hits and everybody starts thinking about morels. those classes fill, and I have long, long waiting lists for that. So that's a very hard class to get into. And we offer 5 or 6 of those a year just at my facility and around the state. We offer more on those. But also talking about spring, what about the turkey hunting clinic, right?
I literally just posted something on our Facebook page about from Outdoor Life about the, you know, the what to look for come spring for turkey. But that's a big one with me because that has become my single most favorite thing to hunt in Michigan.
So we offer a turkey hunting clinic. Steve Sharp from the National Wild Turkey Federation usually comes up and teaches that, but I just saw a note that he's retiring, so we'll see who they get to replace him as their R3 coordinator. But Stacy Skaggs from In the Crosshair Outdoors usually comes in and helps teach that class too. So that is that's a fun one to teach. Really teaching people how to call gobblers and chase them—that's a lot of fun. I enjoy that class. I've learned a ton myself and kind of became an avid turkey hunter. Now I used to go out every once in a while and now I'm out every year.
Yeah, it's not terribly expensive and it's so much fun, but it can be so heartbreaking when your season's over in literally like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun and the kids really enjoy it because it's not a lot like deer hunting where you're sitting a lot, you know, you're calling, you're very interactive. So it's especially a great way to get kids involved in the hunting.
It is. And if you're ever going to take your wife out turkey hunting, make sure you really get her sighted in good on the proper way to shoot a turkey. I'm just saying from experience.
And if you're passionate about the turkeys and the whitetails, what do you got to control? You got to control your predators, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we have a trapping school, and I've got an expert trapper that comes in and teaches that class, and we do water trapping and land trapping. Anything you want to know, Jeff Lash is my instructor for that, and he is awesome at what he does. So that's a great school, and I think that's something a lot of hunters lack. If you're trying to manage a property or food plots, you should have coyote traps set during the trapping season and really be trying to get rid of those predators. If you love turkey hunting, you should be trapping the things that really destroy the nest, like coons, possums, fox, coyotes that are going to eat the young and the other turkeys. You know, get rid of them predators, and you'll really see your wildlife thrive.
Exactly. You know, we have such a huge population of raccoon and things like that. I understand possum. You know, I think I have a soft spot for them for whatever reason. But yeah, when it comes to ground nesting birds, raccoon, fox, things of that nature, can be very difficult. But managing your properties in the area that you own or hunt is definitely a way to go for all species involved.
Yeah, and the kids love it. My kids are addicted to trapping. They all have their own little trap lines here on the property, and they love to go out and check their traps. It's like Christmas morning, and especially when they get a coon or something like that. And then it costs me a ton of money to, you know, have them tanned because they want to tan everything.
Well, you know, you did
but,
start.
You know, that's a major part, you know, but it's a major part of managing. And those are things we also teach in the whitetail management class or the property management part of food plot clinics and stuff like that, you know. So online, it does say that the food plot clinic is going to be taught by Killer Food Plots, Nick Percy. Unfortunately, he has passed away and no longer with us. God bless his soul. But he has left a legacy behind here at the Outdoor Skills Academy, and we're going to continue on. So just a note to your listeners, you know, Nick won't be here, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I wish very much he could be, but the guy was a genius when it come to anything dirt, but we are going to continue that class, and we'll have some instructors that really know what they're doing come in and teach that school.
Yeah, that was really a sad surprise to hear that news. Nick, very passionate about what he did, just full of energy, which was, again, quite a shock to hear of his passing. But Ed, we greatly appreciate you joining us. Michigan.gov/outdoor skills is where you can get in there, get signed up for that steelhead class, because that's going to go fast. Also, the other classes, make sure you get involved. Ed, thank you so much for joining us, man.
next school, February 5th and 6th. Hope to see you guys there.
All right. Thanks again to our good friend Brian Brosdahl for joining us. Be listening. We're going to revisit our talk about spearing with Keith Stanton in the next hour of the show here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.